You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Buddy, doing this again, another Essential Movie Podcast episode. And you know what that means? That's me talking about a bunch of worthless crap at the beginning of the episode. Why do I do this? Why do I subject you to this? Well, I hope you like listening. No one's told me otherwise. I've asked, but nobody's told me. So where are we at? Actually, I wanted to do a little shout out. What it was is, recently I'd gotten invited to do a blogathon, with Jill, who's over there at Real Ouija Midget Reviews. And so that's why you're listening to the song Dyslexic Heart by Paul Westerberg, is because I kind of had that in my brain. Once I heard the concept of the blogathon, first off, from what I want to say and admit to is that I'm not going to be doing any blogathons, at least not in the near interim, and maybe it's laziness, maybe it's one of those things that I love the idea. Love the concept, and I love to, think that I'm going to be the next great American writer, Ernest Klein, John Grisham, et cetera, et cetera. But lately, as I've gotten older, I don't put any time into that, and I've been using this podcast as kind of my creative outlet, and when I get into the realm of I've got a plan to do this, like, weeks, months in advance, then it becomes I have to do and kind of like a work moment. I've got enough things that have a schedule that, as soon as you put like a lock in on a schedule or, a lot of advanced planning, then somehow it becomes kind of in my brain associated with work, and then I, it becomes less fun for me. So my creativity is kind of random. Yeah, fun fact, a lot of our topics for the podcast either are decided the day of or maybe like 1 or 2 days before. Sometimes we'll have like a ongoing series where the creative, we don't have to come up with like a creative concept for an episode or a topic for an episode. But I think, as my co-host would attest, that a lot of times we're not, we're flying by the seat of our pants. We're not really planning out, months in advance that, here's where these different topics are going to land. Sometimes it works out that way just because of we're doing a series. So because of that, and because I'm very random, there was one that had come and gone with this blogathon, that I said that I would contribute to. And then I ended up not doing it because when it came to it, for the posting, I was not in, the capacity to put something together. So it's like, it's almost as if when I hear about the concept of a blogathon, I almost need to participate right then and there when the idea is fresh and hot. But if you let, months or weeks go by, then I'm just for some reason incapable. So I don't want to make commitments that I'm not going to be able to honor. So I don't want to, you know, say that I'm going to do something like that. And it's nothing against the blogathons. I love reading all of the blog entries. The concept that she has right now that she is looking for people to contribute to. So if you're a blogger, please do go to weegeemidget.wordpress.com. That's weegeemidget.wordpress.com. She's got a kick-ass blog. Good friend Jill of the podcast. And their topic that they're looking for is pop stars that have starred in movies and TV. So for some reason, as soon as I saw this concept, I thought completely out of the box. And it wasn't so much, I'm not classifying them as a pop star, but if you remember the movie Singles from, was it 1992? Let me see, I had it up here a minute ago. 92. There was a scene where Matt Dillon, as one of the leads, he has a band, and his band members are the band members of Pearl Jam. So there's a scene where they're going through the review of one of their songs or their album that's really a bad review. But the band, his band gets favorable review based on the person that's writing it into the newspaper. So, you know, there was a brief scene where they're in the diner and they're looking over the newspaper review. And then that involves Eddie Vedder. And then the rest of the members of Pearl Jam. And I thought, you know, that was a fun little cameo. You know, and as, you know, back in the 90s, I was really into the grunge music. So, you know, seeing them on the screen, thought that was very iconic. I loved it. And Singles was a kick-ass movie, too. So I thought, you know, when I heard the concept of the blogathon, that's immediately where my mind went. If I was doing it, that's what I would be writing about. But since I said I'm not going to do it, then this is just me quickly talking about it. Maybe we'll throw a link to this episode when that blogathon comes out. When was that? March 12th through the 14th of 2020. So we got some time. The fun thing also that I noticed that she's crediting her husband as being the person that kind of suggested this idea for the blogathon concept. And I think it's a great one. And it sounds like they had just recently watched the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood movie, Quentin Tarantino, with Leonardo and Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie. And yeah, they really enjoyed that movie. And I thought it was kick-ass. I actually got to see it on my recent trip overseas. And I thought it was fantastic. And recently my wife has been saying, you know, I'd really like to see it. So I'm kind of jazzed about the idea of being able to view it again. The problem is that we're running into is that it's on demand, and I think you have to pay like $4.99 or $5.99 to rent it. Or, you know, the cheaper alternative is going to Redbox, but then with our really crappy weather here in Illinois, it's like subarctic temperatures. All right, that's being over exaggerating, but with you know, the temperatures as they are and the weather, you're just like, I don't want to go out and mess around with the red box. I'd rather just rent it and, you know, hit the button. My prediction is if she does choose that she wants to execute on the idea of watching this movie, it'll probably be on demand, and we'll probably pay, you know, at least double what we would have done if we just would have went to the red box. But anyway, like I said, please do go out, check Jill's blog out. She's got some kick-ass retro stuff. She's been doing some blogging forever. She's some great concepts. She goes back, you know, quite a bit more deeper into retro stuff than we do. In fact, if you're a fan of the TV show Dallas, I know that she would be somebody you would be a fan of reading her stuff. She goes cuckoo for that TV show and everything about it. So, like I said, go check her blog out. One more time, just for the record. It's ouijamidget.wordpress.com. So tell her I sent you if you do write a comment on one of her blog entries. All right, so I think I've rambled quite a bit enough. I've shout out check. Got to talk about, briefly talk about a movie Singles, which I'm hoping will become kind of one of our topics for the future. Got to listen to a little bit of 1990s music. So I think it's a good enough beginning here. Let's go ahead and throw in the bumper here.
This is 80-something podcast.
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
It to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, this is Dave, and you are listening to Banzai Retro Club. I appreciate everybody downloading and listening to us. What I am going to be talking about today is another one of our 1980s essential movies. For those that have been following along, you already know what the hell this is all about. For the new people, you get to be subjected to me saying this. I found the list on RottenTomatoes.com. This is 140 of the essential 1980s movies as put together by their staff over there. And so what I've been doing is that starting backward from 140 all the way to number one is decided to do a podcast episode about each one of these movies. It has indeed been quite the challenge, and it's a fun challenge. So I really get really get jazzed to have the opportunity to talk about most of these movies. There are movies that are on this list that are a little more challenging to talk about. This isn't one of them. This is not. By the time you've clicked on the title of the episode, you know exactly the movie I'm talking about. I have this predisposition to kind of drag out the reveal as to what movie I'm talking about, but I know that you're looking at the titles of all the episodes that are posted for Banzai Retro Club, and you would have known by now I'm talking about Karate Kid, released in 1984. You would have known that. You would have known it was number 88 on the list. And I don't know why I need to drag that out. Why not just start off and say, hey, this is going to be about Karate Kid, and then Rotten Tomatoes, blah, 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 blah. I don't know why I've got to do it the other way. Why do I feel the need to kind of build the suspense? I don't get that. I don't get why I do that. Does that make me a better podcaster, a better storyteller? I don't think so. I think it's just my way of doing things. And hopefully, I haven't annoyed the shit out of you yet. I want to take this in a little bit of a different direction. But let's set this up like we normally do. Let's insert the trailer here.
This is it. This is the end of the line.
Telling me.
Did I tell you about the pool here?
For Daniel LaRusso.
Is this the only pool you guys got?
The future seemed far from terrific.
This place is a dump. You should go back to New Jersey.
Hey, I know it's hard, but we're not quitters, are we?
Until he met the right girl.
She's beautiful. I say she's beautiful. I think she's beautiful.
Is that your address?
You got it.
But that only angered the wrong guy.
Country club at 9:30.
Definitely. You gotta be nuts.
And his troubles really began.
Daddy,
You had to push it. Now you're gonna pay.
Then, in one man, he found a teacher.
I promise, teach karate.
And a friend.
Fighting, always last answer.
How did you do that?
Don't know. First time. Power, whole body. Make a perfect picture.
How do I know if my picture's the right one?
If come from inside you, always right one. Lesson about the balance, not just karate, lesson for all life. Why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Hey, Karate Kid, let's take a move.
No points or no points, you're dead meat.
I don't have much of a cheering section.
You got me.
In the end, it will be in Daniel's hands. In his body. Most of all, in his mind.
Concentrate, focus, power. Remember, balance.
No mercy.
Columbia Pictures presents The Karate Kid.
Hey, what kind of belt do you have?
Canvas. You like? J.C. Penney, 398.
And then, say, hey, Google, tell us about the movie Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid is a 2010 movie directed by Harold Swirth, starring Jaden Smith.
Hey Google,
and Jackie Chan.
Stop. Hey Google, tell us about The Karate Kid 1984.
The Karate Kid is a 1984 movie directed by John G. Avildsen, starring Ralph Macchio, Pat Morita, and Martin Cove.
Macchio? Jesus. Macchio. Man, once again, Google just don't pronounce things right. And, you know, as I said that earlier about, you know, tell me about Karate Kid, I knew that was going to go into the most recent version of that, which I never saw, by the way. Hey, Google, give us the plot of The Karate Kid 1984.
Here's the synopsis of The Karate Kid. Daniel Ralph Macchio moves to Southern California with his mother, Lucille Randy Heller, but quickly finds himself the target of a group of bullies who study karate at the Cobra Kai Dojo. Fortunately, Daniel befriends Mr. Miyagi, Noriyuki, Pat, Morita, an unassuming repairman who just happens to be a martial arts master himself. Miyagi takes Daniel under his wing, training him in a more compassionate form of karate and preparing him to compete against the brutal Cobra Kai.
All right, so couple corrections from the way she pronounced things. It's Macchio and it's Miyagi. So anybody that's watched the movie several times, you know that you know that's the way that those are pronounced. I don't know why Google does what she does, but she's a bad girl sometimes. Bad girl. So love this movie. Love this movie. In fact, I even got a DVD of this movie this last Christmas. I started to watch the commentary track of the movie, but I'm really the only one that's in the house that will, you know, wants to hear all of that. You know, I think everyone else just wants to watch the movie. So anytime I want to listen to like the commentary track of a movie, I'm usually doing it solo when, you know, everyone else is not around. But, you know, I remember, you know, a lot of the commentary that they started to go into was just talking about the sets, you know, the locations that they were finding. And I don't remember anything significant. I think I really only got to maybe the around the beach scene when we first met the Elizabeth Shue character, Allie with an I. And let me go a different direction on this. And I think the traditional thought process is, you know, let's look at Daniel getting bullied by Johnny. So I know that's the traditional thought process, but after having watching all the episodes of Cobra Kai, I have a different of opinion. I have a different thought process. And hear me out with this. If you haven't watched Cobra Kai, I think, and you love the Karate Kid movies, I think you really need to get into the YouTube premium and watch those. Definitely binge them through. Little hack, and I can't believe I'm admitting to this, but what my wife and I have discovered is that when you go to sign up for the YouTube premium, I think you get either a free week or maybe a free month for the first time you sign up. So what we'll do is we will use when we know that, Cobra Kai has got the latest release, we'll sign up with a different email address so that we don't have to pay for YouTube premium. So that's us breaking the law, being dishonest, but that has allowed us to stay current with when Cobra Kai comes out. Back to the point. I think the Johnny character is a lot more complex than we give credit for. And you'll notice that, during the main course of the movie, he's quite the ass. He's a jerk. He's the epitome of what we see in movies as a 1980s bully. Kudos. Kudos to great acting. I love the character development. I love the going into a 1980s movie like this and loving to hate somebody. And Johnny gave us that. However, you fast forward towards the end of the movie, you started to see that there were some conflicts going on with Johnny. You see the fact where when he was getting his the blood wiped away by his sensei, Kreese, you'll notice that, Kreese was telling him, no mercy, sweep the leg. And you knew Johnny had problems with that. He was questioning it. He was like, he didn't say it out loud, but you can tell he was like, that's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. And then Kreese is basically giving him a direct order. So it goes into the bad influence of the teacher. And, the argument, like I said, can be made that he kind of deserved to lose at the end, Johnny, because of he was allowing himself be manipulated by his teacher. And I think that Kreese was able to really raise a person like Johnny up, find what he needed to build him into the person that he became, because he was kind of the de facto leader of this group of punks. And, they all become really great friends, but, because he was the archetype of the take charge kind of person, he was able to really evolve into the leadership role in the Cobra Kai, and that gave him a sense of being, and then it also gave him some cred at school. So we all knew people like him in school, where kind of over the top, kind of in your face, kind of your aggressive leader. He may not be the most popular person in school, but everybody knew of this guy. So we've all had these kind of people in our lives. And maybe not to the extreme of what Johnny does, but to some degree you had that over the top person that just that personality. And so I think that Kreese was able to recognize that in Johnny, and maybe even be something that he had seen in himself when he was younger, and really kind of use that to build onto, making another John Kreese. Then we get to the point where we have, at the end, he tells him to sweep the leg. Johnny doesn't want to do it, but he does it anyway. Daniel is in a lot of pain, a lot of anguish. He has to take a break. And, he finally is able to go back and win. And at the end, when Johnny grabs a trophy and he's the one that's trying to give it to Daniel, he even apologizes. So you can tell that he had retribution for being for doing that to Daniel. So I think he grew some, and that's why if you go into watch the TV series as Cobra Kai, you see that it's a natural transition as to what this character would have evolved to. You know, this is the kind of guy that's going to be living in those glory days of back when he was, you know, the king of the castle being the high school. And everyone else is kind of growing up around him, but he's kind of stuck back there and just recognizing the good old days. You know, that's the kind of guy that Johnny is. And you almost start to feel sorry for that. You start feel sorry for the, you know, because he had been a victim of the teacher. But if you look at, you know, other movies that have that same kind of thread, a perfect example of that is A Few Good Men. You had these two Marines that had executed this Code Red, and at the end, they were being, they didn't get punished because they had a direct order, but they still got in some trouble because they didn't recognize the fact that they should have stood up for the person that they ended up killing. Johnny's retribution is something that he's going, you know, carried with him the, you know, for the latter part of his life, you know, throughout all the years. It's because he allowed himself to do this to Daniel, or, you know, to other people in his life before Daniel, I'm sure, you know, and be a bully. And so that's what you almost make, you know, there's a lot more complexity to a character like Johnny than we give him credit for. So that's my reason why I said at the beginning of this that this is going to be a little bit of different, because I think it's easy to go into, if you just looked at the source material of The Karate Kid 1984 and go Team Daniel, Team Miyagi. And I'm not saying against that. I'm just saying that there's other things to consider to realize that there's a little bit more going on the side of Cobra Kai and Johnny that we need to give credit for. And there's, you know, due to the extra background that we've been getting with, you know, the spinoff TV show on YouTube. You know, once again, Cobra Kai, you would think that I work for them or something, like I'm advertising, but it's just because I fell so in love with the continuation of that world. And it picks up right where you need it to, and what you can imagine, you know, the character development. You know, Daniel would have been successful because he would have gotten his confidence. And so he has dealerships, car dealerships all over the place. And so it's one of those things where once he's gotten a taste of, you know, Cobra Kai's coming back, even though it had fallen apart, it was like he wasn't really even pursuing that. But then it was like a calling because he had to go back into that world. So highly recommend watching Cobra Kai. I know I'm supposed to be talking about The Karate Kid 1984. Let's see, a couple things that significant from the original source material movie. I love the, our namesake for Banzai Retro Club. So a lot of times that I always spell the name Banzai, B-A-N-Z-A-I, is because I don't want people confusing. When you say bonsai, they think the little trees, B-O-N-S-A-I. I got to hesitate there for a minute when I'm spelling. So I don't want you to consider the podcast name being little trees. But then again, I say that, and then as I'm saying it, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You've already found the podcast. You're already listening to it. So you know, based on the title of the podcast, what it is. So why do I feel the need to spell it out every time when I'm giving our web address? I don't know. I really don't. But there's that. There's brilliant acting involved by everybody that's in this movie. Loved the whole premise of it. Let's see. Other notable things. We got introduced to the concept of him trying to catch a fly with chopsticks. This was Mr. Miyagi. So we got to see that early on. We got catchphrases out the yin-yang. Like, I even, you know, paint the fence, wax the car. Yeah, these are all things that, you know, people that have seen this movie, you get it, you understand. And actually, just 2 days ago, I was having a discussion with the family, and my wife had told me that because my youngest is taking karate, and she's actually almost a black belt, by the way, which is very impressive. I love the fact that she has stuck with karate so long. But all of us had, not all of us, my wife hasn't, but all the rest of us have actually taken a attempt at trying to go forward with it. I think I had gotten up to a orange belt. My son had gotten to yellow, and my oldest had gotten to green. And so what my wife had told me, she goes, well, since we pay for our youngest, any adult can take part in taking karate class with our daughter for free. And I thought, oh, that's all well and good. And I just kept remembering the, you know, why I didn't like that particular training was because I felt like I spent so much time learning katas, and it felt like learning dance moves to me versus actually being applicable to self-defense. When I think karate, I think, you know, you're going to get in and you're going to spar and fight each other. You know, kind of like what we saw in the Cobra Kai dojo. You know, that's what I'm kind of expecting, but I don't, you know, that's not what I felt like. That's all that was being, the major focus was learning the katas, which are learning the various series of moves, you know, that, and some of them are quite complicated to get up to the next belt. So to me, it felt like, you know, equivalent to learning line dancing. You know, maybe I'm just not that coordinated, or maybe I just don't care that much. But at the same time, it was like, you know, I don't want to do this continually over and over again. But as I said, we were having a family discussion, and my wife actually defended the fact to say, you know what? She was like, you know, those, you know, by learning all those katas, they're learning a repetitive thing in order so that when they, you know, if somebody were to attack them, you know, it can be used as self-defense, and you're able to call upon those moves that you're, you know, that you've repeated over and over again. So she was basically reciting the concept back to me of Miyagi, you know, having him sand the floor and paint the fence and wax the car. So I got it. I understood exactly what she was saying. And she's obviously smart. Well, some cases smarter than me. All right, all cases she's smarter than me. Let's put it that way. But yeah, the wife made a point, you know, and it was just really funny that I knew that I'd be talking about Karate Kid, and we had kind of a Karate Kid moment by proxy of the concept of, you know, all of those things by doing repetitive moves, you know, just, you know, right there in the kitchen about 2 days ago. So this movie relates, and it stays relevant. See, what else do I got to talk about? The soundtrack. Wow. At the end of these essential movie episodes, I always put like a song. So if you do choose to check out after I sign off and I do the outro bumper, you don't get to hear a song. Usually what I'm doing is I'm picking a song from the soundtrack. Well, I'm always picking a song from the soundtrack to add into it. Some cases I think that, you know, because a lot of the songs are instrumental in some of these movies, they're not as exciting to listen to. But in the case of Karate Kid, there's a lot of great iconic songs. You know, the one that I have become a fan of is the one by a band, I think it's a band or somebody named Commuter, which is Young Hearts, which is what is played when they're visiting golf and stuff. We know the song You're the Best, and I think that's what Joe Esposito And that's when they're doing the fighting for the All Valley karate championship. And I know that there's other great songs that are in here. So it's going to be interesting to try to pick one to put at the end of the episode. So you're really going to have to, you know, continue to listen throughout this if you want to hear which one I pick. But at the same time, I'm really not going to know which one I'm going to pick until I start editing. So I can't tell you what to wait for. But I just think that there's a lot of great songs. And even Cruel Summer by Bananarama, that's in there too. Is that in the scene when they're at the beach? Don't remember when that happens. But anyway, a lot of great music that's in this movie. So there's so many great things about The Karate Kid that I can continue to ramble about. And this is kind of what I was expecting when I was approaching this particular episode. I knew that I would be confronted with, you know, gushing about it, talking about Cobra Kai, because I knew that I was waiting for this specific episode to really tout on that TV series. If it's a streaming service, is it fair to call it a TV series? And because you could be watching it on any device, so it's a streaming series, and it's not even television. You could stream it on your television, but if you're streaming on your phone, then it's not a TV series, is it? So there's a question for the ages. What do we call that? Yeah. So give that one some thought. Let's see, what else? I don't think there's anything else to talk about. I think I've rambled quite a bit. Where am I at for time? Let's see here. Well over 30 minutes. That is just a probably a record for this for the Essential Movie Podcast episodes. Realizing that, you know, the beginning part of that was talking about doing the shout out and blogathons, and now my phone is going off. What the hell? Come on. Why am I becoming popular? Oh, people are adding stuff to the family calendar. So that doesn't apply to you guys. All right. So with everything being said, I do want to tell everybody that we have a website out there. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. I will not spell it because you should know, based on what I talked about earlier, how to get there. You know how it's spelled. On that website, you can get to links to our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook. There are links to the other social media stuff, but we really don't play too much in those. I'd recommend that if you are on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram to give us a follow and comment. Please comment on our stuff. We'd love to make sure that you're out there and have some input as to what we have to say. Since I've said all that, I'm going to go ahead and just remind everybody to please be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 On the next episode, we're going to be talking about Terms of Endearment, 1983.
We were strangers in the naked sunlight, where everything is far too real. From your eyes that smile through the dark, new sensations I can feel. I was kidnapped to another time zone, where someone like you could really be. Another world that I've been missing, that only twilight can reveal. Can you feel the night coming out of nowhere in the lights? I want you to be there. like everybody is looking for a laugh, and they surround us on every side. But somehow we stay invisible, 'cause the magic is